Our Christmas gospel begins in St. Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We'll continue our gospel reading with the book of Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The final reading from our Christmas gospel comes to us from Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Merry Christmas. I am so glad you are here with us this evening as we rush together to the manger. I'm not sure what you were hoping for when you arrived here tonight, what all of your rushing was for, what you were expecting when you came to see this thing that has taken place. But whatever brought you here, or whoever dragged you here in an itchy sweater, I am glad that you are here. Thank you for joining us and surrounding us with your singing, your candlelight, and your prayers this evening. I hope this place, this night, changes your heart. I hope the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of generosity and love goes with you and stays with you all year. The Christmas story that best reminds us of these things is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And if you aren't familiar, it is a beautiful story of transformation and the Christmas spirit of generosity and giving. It is about living with an open hand and a thankful heart. And the best adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol is, of course, say it with me, The Muppets' Christmas Carol. Yes, correct. Thank you. You all knew that already. For those of you who have not had the privilege and honor of seeing this film, it's not a movie, it's a film. Michael Caine plays Ebenezer Scrooge, and the rest of the cast, besides the younger version of Scrooge and his family, the rest of the cast is all Muppets. So you would think Michael Caine, being the only human in the film, would be kind of silly, goofy, Muppety. You would think that he would play into the fact that Bob Cratchit is played by a frog, and Tiny Tim, also a frog, even though his mom is Miss Piggy. The genetics are a little confusing, best not to tug on those strings, but no, the best part about The Muppets' Christmas Carol is that Michael Caine plays it serious as a heart attack the entire time. He never once winks or smiles at the camera. He gives an Oscar-worthy performance as if this was a Shakespearean production, and his co-stars just so happen to be pigs and frogs and whatever Gonzo is. It's the best. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies. It's actually a very faithful adaptation of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, ironically. But my love of the Muppets aside, I think we have misunderstood why Scrooge is reviled, what his sin is, and what his transformation means. I think most people watch the film or read the book and say, well, Scrooge is greedy, and that's why he's a bad man. But it is so much deeper than that. The sin of Scrooge is in his unyielding ability to see humanity around him. Scrooge believes that others are in poverty because they don't live like him. Scrooge believes that those are in poverty, that they deserve it because they aren't as fastidious and miserly as him. In other words, it's their own fault. If they just kept their books like I do, if they were as tight-fisted as I am, they wouldn't be in their position. And all of this plays out in the scene in his office, the Scrooge and Marley counting house. Bob Cratchit asks to put another lump of coal on the fire to warm up the office. And Scrooge refuses. But he doesn't refuse because he's greedy and he wants his employees to be cold in a miserable office, all while he sits in comfort in his own office. No, Scrooge lives and works in the same cold office as his employees. Scrooge doesn't even light his own house at night because he saw it as a waste of money. Dickens writes, "Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it." He isn't greedy for his own gain. He doesn't even benefit from his own wealth. He lives in squalor. Scrooge doesn't insist that Bob Cratchit work on Christmas all while he's off in the Caribbean somewhere on a boat or something. He insists that Bob works on Christmas because he'll be working too. In fact, he thinks all people should be at work. Scrooge thinks Christmas is a humbug because it makes people take time off work and spend money that they don't have. He doesn't do that. No one else should do that. If everyone just lived like me, everything would be right in the world. Scrooge's cold, calculated nature keeps him in a very dark and cold world of his own design, solitary as an oyster. His sin is an ingratitude toward his fellow man and an inability to see humanity in others. And Scrooge sent misery into the world by demanding that others live according to his strict moral code and worldview. And this is very important for us because if we view this Christmas classic as a tale about a rich guy who was very greedy, we could say to ourselves, well, I'm not a rich money lender, so I can't learn anything from this. But the problem is, we do have a lot to learn from this Christmas carol. It's very easy for us to slip into Scrooge's worldview. How many of us have hardened our hearts toward those we feel deserve it? Those who don't live by our moral codes, those who don't adhere to our ethics, those who don't follow our rules. In this way, we can all be a little Scroogey, which is why we need to reread this Christmas story from our scriptures each year, tonight, on this Christmas Eve. Because how easy is it for us to forget that Christ was born in such humble and lowly circumstances? A son born to a migrant family, on the run from tyrant King Herod, born in a smelly stable, surrounded by beasts of burden and laid in a manger because there was no other place to welcome him. And the first visits that our newborn king receives were from the shepherd, unskilled, undereducated laborers who were considered by society as social and spiritual outcasts. Shepherds worked with animals. They were ritualistically unclean. They were as outsider could be. But this good news of great joy of our Messiah was given first to the outcast, the marginalized, the humble poor. Christ was born into the margins of our world, and Jesus lived and served those outcast and downtrodden first. How have we become Scroogey toward the world? How have we hardened our heart and turned a blind eye to those pushed to the margins? The beggar on the street, the unhoused, the trampled upon. How have we turned a deaf ear to the cries of those hurting around us? The migrant, the refugee, the sick, and the imprisoned. Have we, like Scrooge, been looking down upon those individuals because they don't follow our rules or our codes or our laws or ethics? Christmas is not only a celebration of God's gift to the world, the gift of his only son. Christmas is a call to embody that gift in how we live and how we love our fellow brothers and sisters. Christ invites us in this Christmas gift to love one another more deeply, to listen with compassion to each other's cries, and to extend grace upon grace across those arbitrary boundaries that we have put up. Those boundaries where we say who's in and who's out, who's right, who's wrong. True generosity of spirit flows from a heart that has been transformed by the love of Christ, who was born into our midst this Christmas. When we see the depth of God's grace in Christ's love for us, we should be compelled to share that grace with others, all others. What barriers and boundaries are entrenched in your hearts tonight? Have you become Scroogey toward your fellow siblings in Christ? What is keeping you from sharing the same love and grace to all that which was first given to you? Merry Christmas. The message from our Christmas story from the Scriptures is one of hope and light for a people who have walked in darkness. The Christmas message from our Scripture is a good news of great joy for all people, extended first and heralded by the outcast and the lonely. And the cautionary tale of Scrooge is to soften our hearts and to open our eyes to the humanity of our siblings in Christ so we can share the gift of Christmas with all. So this Christmas, we, like Mary, must treasure these things and ponder them in our hearts so that we can be transformed by the presence of Emmanuel, God with us, born into our dark and cold world. My prayer for you this Christmas is that the Spirit stirs a transformation within your hearts so that you can take the spirit of Christmas with you the whole year round. And in the words of Tiny Tim, God bless us, everyone. Amen. Merry Christmas.